Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen on 1320 WILS. While Americans across the country celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday with a feast, many families and children in the U.S. do not have enough to eat. The problem is certainly being exacerbated by our economic downturn. To talk about it and what we can do to make sure that all Americans are adequately fed, I'm joined by Kevin Concannon, USDA Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Well, thank you. Welcome. I'm pleased to be here, Michael.
We seem to have all kinds of ways for families to avoid hunger. I mean, there's the food stamp program, food banks, extended school meal programs. With all these resources, why are there still children that are chronically hungry in the U.S. right now?
Well, you know, fortunately, we don't have the kind of hunger that you see in third and fourth world countries, you know, like in the Horn of Africa. But we do have what is referred to technically as food insecurity, or instances in which households across the country, children and adults living in them, in which they don't have enough to eat. They may be running out of food toward the end of the month. They may be skipping meals. So it's that kind of hunger. And with a country of the capacity we have, there's no reason even for that to exist. So that's why we have those the federal safety net programs. And in states like Michigan these days, there are nearly 2 million residents of Michigan that participate in that SNAP program. I think the numbers I saw, the last ones, were like 1,900,000+ folks, and half of them are children.
Do you feel that the program is at this point adequate and does provide families enough money to meet ends when it comes to their food needs?
Well, you know, by design, and that's where the letter SNAP, S-N-A-P, or it's intended to be a supplement. It isn't intended to be the only source of support for families. But unfortunately, we know these days that there are literally millions of people across the country that this is the only support. They're not eligible either for disability or Social Security or any other type of income support. So it is designed to provide enough income to a family, modeling something called the Thrifty Food Plan that nutritionists and economists put together here and update each month. But I know it can be a real challenge in some parts of the country, as you know, no surprise to you, that foods are less expensive than, let's say, you get into some of our urban areas or some areas of so-called food deserts where there aren't, where access to grocery or large grocery stores is not so good, where people end up paying a premium for foods, and they really struggle in instances like that.
What about the sad fact that in our country, it's far cheaper to buy a McDonald's meal than it is to buy the produce and ingredients to make a healthy, well-balanced meal? Are poor families often eating mostly food that could be considered unhealthy?
I think we see evidence along that line often, particularly at the end of the month. I've talked with grocery store executives who told me that in the early part of the month, these are after these benefits are loaded onto these EBT cards, that low-income families purchase foods pretty similar to the rest of us. But as the month wears on and their benefits start to run down, then they get into the pastas and the other foods that provide calories, or they may go to they can't use their food stamp card at a restaurant except in a limited number of states, and I don't believe Michigan is one of those states. But they use what cash they may have to buy, you know, a meal that provides a lot of calories, but it's not necessarily a healthy meal by any means.
I'm talking to Kevin Concannon, USDA Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services. Obviously, we have this obesity epidemic, not only among adults, but also children. How do you view this epidemic up against this fact that so many more families are now relying on food stamps? There seems to be kind of an inconsistency there.
Well, you know, the obesity epidemic, and we had a lot of really strong allies with us in fighting that issue just this past year in the passage of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. We had a bunch of about 200 retired generals and admirals to an organization called Mission Readiness work with us on Capitol Hill to make sure we had a strong nutrition-based bill passed for improving the meal quality in schools across the country, and the rationale being there that each day, you know, some 32 million children have lunch through the national school program, school lunch program, and to the extent we can assure people that that food is going to be healthy, not just bulky and not just calories, and not too much pizza, with all due respect, even in contrast to what happened in Congress here the other day.
When you look at the food stamp program, which of course is funded by the government and helps people eat, would it be outrageous for the government to encourage healthy eating, in a sense, limiting the way the food stamp money is used to maybe direct it towards particularly healthy foods?
No. I mean, I to your question, I think it's a well-reasoned one. We are in the midst of an experiment underway right now, just started the 1st of November, but it's been in preparation for almost 2 years up in western Massachusetts, where we're testing 7,500 food stamp recipients in a control group with another 7,500 in that same geographic area. And the 7,500 in the first group are going to be given additional incentives to buy fruits and vegetables. I've seen a lot of evidence in farmers markets across the country in both our WIC program, which is for pregnant women and very young mothers and young children. I've seen evidence where, again, incentives have really worked to encourage people to eat healthier. So we're looking at a variety of models. We turned down the city of New York back a couple of months ago when they asked to put an absolute limit on the purchase of sugar-sweetened beverages to about 2 million people. And we said, you know, if you want to apply that to everybody, we'd like to work with you. But if you only want to apply it to food stamp recipients, we're not going to approve that at this point, because our studies show that their purchasing habits aren't much different than other people who are similarly situated income-wise.
Finally, the food stamp program is obviously exploding. Do you expect that trend to continue for the next, for the foreseeable future? And do you feel that families are getting enough money through the program individually to feed themselves properly?
Well, we certainly expect that as the economy gets better, and I certainly hope and pray it will. Our forecasting has always been that, and our experience has been that when the economy gets better, the numbers tend to reduce and moderate on the food stamp program. So I think jobs and the economy are the key to reducing it further. So that's on the enrollment side. On the question of is it sufficient, I think it really varies across the country. It is intended to be a supplemental benefit for folks. And many households, I think about 40% of the folks who live in households on the SNAP program, at least one adult in that household is working in the economy. So we know in those instances they have access to other funds. Overall, about 70% of SNAP households have some income beyond SNAP. It's a challenge for people. It can be, you know, they can eat healthy within that framework, but you have to be a good shopper.
One last thing, when you put food banks up against the food stamp program, is it just a minuscule part of the picture when it comes to helping needy families?
Well, I'd never denigrate the importance of them, because especially these times, the food banks, of which there are about 220 or so nationally, they provide support to over 6,000 now food pantries, many of them run by churches or faith-based groups. They last year served over 37 million people. And increasingly, I've heard that same, what I call an evocative statement, the same words used by people either going into food banks or showing up at a government office. And you hear the words, I never thought I would find myself in this situation. And there are people who have great educations, people who have had very high income jobs in the past. All of a sudden, the world changes significantly in terms of either the factory closes, they lose their job, they go through a separation or change in their family, and they find themselves, people who used to be donors, on the receiving end. So the food banks of the country are extraordinarily important, but they don't take the place of, I think this is what I would say, they cannot take the place of a strong safety net. They're an important part of it. They're a link in that chain, but we can't expect them to substitute for an adequate government policy.
And this year, more families than ever relying on the varied food programs that exist. Kevin Concannon, USDA Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you for allowing me to do so, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks. And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.